welcome to Two Drunken Penguins, an Anarchins Anonymous Radio Production. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Two Drunken Penguins. I, Will, am here with
Robbie. What's going on?
And today joining us, we have
Mr. Chris Nelson.
We have finally gotten our lives together for a moment, enough to be able to join forces, to be able to do yet another show.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long.
My first.
Your first, huh?
My first.
Yeah. How many months has it been? It's been a while.
Seems like forever with the coronavirus.
Yeah, that hasn't helped the situation, but trying to strive to make it through. I don't know no other way to put it.
That's right. So, Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Morris.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself.
Well, let's see. I am a old man. No. I'm married. I have...
Was this a fucking dating website?
Yeah. We don't want to put that out there.
I don't know. I'm a huge sports fan.
There we go. Yeah, all right. We're getting to the bread and butter of the situation
there we go,
now.
Yes. All right, so I am a diehard Atlanta Braves fan, and I am a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. Something that I don't know if you fans out there realize, but Mr. Morris over here used to be a Cowboys fan.
We're going to go back on this story again.
Oh, yes.
All right.
We are opening up this can.
This can. I remember this can. It was stored about 3 years ago.
No, this can, it doesn't need to be open yet again.
No, I think we did mention this.
We have mentioned this.
You have mentioned this because you mentioned my name in the whole process.
You're damn right.
Yeah, because we figured we'd be getting a lot of flack and comments about it.
I'm here to help add some turmoil to this whole deal and bring some truth to light.
Truth to light.
Wow. All right.
This guy is really...
He's going in hard today.
He's coming out swinging over here.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
So we got Braves.
Yes.
Entire life?
No.
Oh, we really got to bring this shit up.
Okay.
We're not
talking about your fandom, sir, Robbie. We are talking about Nelson's fandom. Entire life, a lifelong fan of the Braves.
No, he's not.
So here you go. I'll break it down.
Let's hear it.
No problem.
Come on.
So before I moved to Virginia, which we'll have to get into that a whole nother time, I used to live in Jersey. I lived in Jersey, and I was a Mets fan for the longest time.
Ooh.
Mets. I know. Of all teams, I could have chose the Yankees, but I didn't. I chose the Mets.
So you stayed in the NL.
Yeah, say National League. In the East, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's a pretty harsh move, considering, you know, it almost sounds similar to Robbie's story with his liking of the Cowboys first off back years and years ago before switching over to the rival
Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and
but, I digress. Continue, sir. Please tell us your history of sports fandom.
When that happened, it was like being kicked in the balls. It really was. Because here was, I thought I knew my friend over here. And all of a sudden, it's like Cowboys, and all of a sudden, this freaking Eagles flyer comes out of fucking nowhere. And
I'm like, okay.
And I'm like, wow. You know,
But we're back to your sports history, sir. So you started off as a Mets fan.
Yes.
Proceeded on to becoming a Braves fan. You moved south, and then you decided that you were continue moving south even more with who you liked in baseball.
It was because you couldn't find... being in location you couldn't find a Mets game down here where
we do have the Baltimore Orioles able to be watched here.
They were on HTS.
Look, hey, I'm just talking about the local viewership, how we watch TV, what is available. Don't be giving me that look, Robbie.
The Orioles suck.
I don't care if the Orioles suck. Y'all can't see the if look you that's see, happening, but... If it's on TV, then that's what you get to watch.
Well, I agree. That's how I became a damn Braves fan. Exactly. I mean, Ted Turner threw it right into our
fucking
face.
TBS nonstop with that bullshit. Was.
And that's how I became a Braves fan. Because I actually liked, before they, once they exited out of those baby blues that they freaking wore, which I freaking hated, then they went to these new ones.
Hey, respect the history. Respect the history, sir.
I respect the history.
But. There's a lot of teams that started off with baby blues in their repertoire for their uniforms years and years ago. Seemed to be a common theme. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins have a blue uniform. I will have you know. Continue on. Yes, it's
history. So once moved down here, we were introduced to TBS and HTS, and I was watching Braves and Orioles, and to choose between the two, the Orioles were like the bottom feeders of the Major League Baseball for the longest time.
But see, they had Cal Ripken Jr. at the time.
Even with Cal Ripken Jr., sir, they were still bottom of the barrel. So when I said, I'm going Braves, Bobby Cox.
Bernie Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a decent little crew at the time. I'm just saying.
They were developing, yes.
But anyhow. All right, so we changed up midway through your life. In baseball, are you a lifetime Cowboys fan?
See,
or
now,
is there a dirty hidden secret about Giants or Jets in your past?
Tim, it goes something like this. It started out that I was an actual... Oh God,
don't tell me it's Patriots.
No. I was a Jets fan.
Oh, Lord.
Because
son of a bitch.
Well,
my God.
And y'all think my story
how the
bad.
Mighty have fallen.
To explain.
If we were supposed to feel all bad about Robbie changing teams, my God, look at you.
But wait, it gets better. It gets better. Check this out.
Robert has thrown down his glasses in absolute disgust, ladies and gentlemen.
I was a Jets fan because I did not want to fall in the same category with my family that were all Giants fans.
Oh, so it's okay to jump on Robert for doing this as well.
Sir, can we focus on this for a minute?
Yeah, this is great.
This is enlightening information here.
This is years.
Years of heartache for Robbie to be dealing with, and you, sir.
I feel like I was set up.
Is that what it feels like now?
I feel like I was set up.
All the years of our friendship, we didn't even know these secrets.
And you were sitting there talking about, fair weather fan, bandwagoner fan, just swapping teams.
Giving me hell.
And he is sitting there, I changed teams because this was what my family liked, but then I decided to like a team myself, and this is who I chose. This is what your story is, sir. This is your exact story.
Are you done?
I am just... appalled at the situation here, of how it has come about. But continue, please.
I would love to. Are you done?
I'm waiting.
Okay. So, I was a Jets fan, but it really didn't last that long. It was like dating a girl. You know, it didn't work out. Me and the Jets did not work out.
So you switched to men like the Cowboys?
No, not that fast. Not that fast.
So it was later on the men came.
I only wish. Anyway.
You only wish? What the hell is going on with this show today?
We have lost track here.
Wow. Nelson, this is not what we expected at all.
I think it's the tequila talking here.
Go ahead, bro. I'm messing with you.
Taking completely out of text there.
I don't know if it was really taking that far out of text.
Oh,
dude.
It was taking out of text.
Wait, continue. Yeah,
so, went from being a Jets fan to going to the Raiders.
Whoa,
my
what
God.
The fuck?
We went from
this
the Jets to
school.
The black hole.
Yes. 1988, I became a Raiders fan, just for a little bit.
I was 2 years old.
1990 is when I entered Dallas.
And I became a Steelers fan at 1990 when I was 4 years old. Been a Steelers fan ever since.
They appreciate See, that is your loyalty. Commitment, sir.
That yes. is loyalty, people.
Yes. Yes.
What you have heard from my cohorts, there is no such thing. It didn't happen until much later on in life that they decided to develop this.
You can
literally
kiss
this.
My ass.
You can suck my left nipple.
Is it still bruised?
No. That was the right one, by the way. But anyway, a Raiders fan.
Oh, yes. I am actually truly shocked about that
point. Dallas in the 90s.
See, I didn't follow football as strong as what everybody else was.
Did you literally listen to the episode where I spoke? Because everything sounds exactly the same.
It might have, but listen to this. So, I was and still am a gamer. I was always a gamer. Since NES came out, when I was introduced to NES in 1985 or whenever it was it came out, I've been a gamer since then. And I was more interested in gaming than I was in watching sports. I didn't start watching sports until 1986. That was when the Mets won the World Series. That's when I really got involved with baseball. Stats, baseball cards, everything. I didn't become a real football person until 1990, when I started having actual friends that were into football. Back in the 80s, I didn't have anybody that was into football, really. It was just more about games and stuff like that and baseball. So it was a whole other world unlocked for me.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you jump from the Jets to the Raiders. I still don't understand how that
is
even feasible. But now you've been locked in for the last, 30 years on the Cowboys. So
yes.
Props on that long-term relationship.
Well,
How about any other sports? Do we have a favorite basketball team? Soccer team, hockey team.
Hockey team still is and always will be the New Jersey Devils. There is no other hockey team.
Well, bullshit, there's a Colorado Avalanche that are champions, huh? Shut up, Penguin boy.
Hey, we got,
Devils
you
are
know,
champions too. 95.
We got a nice five rings
anyway,
right now.
But yes, they're champions.
And we're
too.
One of the only teams to do the back-to-back a couple separate times like we have. But, you know. I digress.
All right, so the Devils.
There is no soccer. I don't enjoy soccer.
Here. Sorry to our international fans.
DC United MLS and
I mean, I appreciate and respect the sport, so it's not knocking them. It's just it's not my cup of tea.
There went all the soccer fans. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, if
you recall in the first episode, I'm pretty sure that I had said that the soccer is nothing more than a team that tears up a perfectly good football field.
But don't football players do the same damn thing, if not worse?
But it's for football, so it's worth it.
Dead silence. I love it. No.
Yeah. No, all in high school, our soccer team practiced on our game field for football. The football team practiced on a completely different field, but the soccer team practiced on our game field.
Those bastards!
Exactly.
Well then, what about basketball, good sir?
What you got in basketball, or do you?
Well, I don't follow pro basketball that much. I've only followed the Warriors just because they've been shoved in our faces over the last 8-10 years. But if we go talk about college, UVA football, UVA basketball, that's what I like to watch and see. Coach Bennett has done a wonderful job, and I think Coach Mendenhall is getting the team to come around, and I think they're going to be something this
year.
Has
this been a lifelong following?
No.
What the hell? This show should have been called something else. I don't even know. This is insane.
What was your initial college team of choice?
Go on and say it.
Oh man, this
it's a heartbreaker.
This is about to look bad, I have the feeling.
Well.
Make sure the people in the back can hear you, sir.
Well, only because I wanted to get in with the in crowd did I try to go this route.
Oh, that's and never good. Failed,
but it was Duke.
Duke what?
Duke basketball.
I have no problem with that. I like Duke basketball.
Only Duke basketball? Was it Duke across the board?
It was not Duke across the board. I didn't even realize Duke had a football team when I was liking Duke basketball.
Well, that is something to be said. Regardless of Mitchell Trubisky's attempted compliments.
Back when I was watching Duke basketball, my favorite team back then was between the Florida Gators and Miami Hurricanes. So it was still ACC.
Constant winner.
Well, actually, Miami wasn't in the ACC back then. I say Miami was
not
then.
In there, bro.
No.
So no, they were Big East.
Right.
Yeah.
They were Big East.
They're back there with Pittsburgh. Back when Pittsburgh was still there.
But anyway.
Remember, it's smooth, though. It's so smooth.
But yeah, I've been converting over to being EVA. Took a few years.
All right. Well, now that we have introductions out of the way and
he's blown all our damn minds.
I know. I've got to take a second.
The truth has been coming out.
I've got to take a second here to try to regroup myself.
This has blown my mind. I don't know what to do.
I don't know if it's the tequila that is getting to me.
Well,
or
why don't you tell us what kind of tequila we're having today?
Well, today our drink of choice is Terramana tequila.
Isn't that the Rocks tequila?
It is the Rocks tequila. We're drinking and we're paying for it. It's no subsidies coming in yet. Maybe one day. That'd be kind of nice.
Smooth as hell.
It is incredibly smooth. It is one of the best tequilas I've ever had.
Yes.
With no side effects.
Go out and get you one.
Yeah, he's got two different flavors out there, versions out there, so go check them out.
Which flavor was this one that we had?
It's over on the counter. I'm not sure at the moment. But it's very good stuff.
Indeed.
So we're going to take a step away for a second, take a little break, and come right back. All right, so it has been a long time that since we've had any type of sports actually taking place. Things are starting to slowly get back in order, but during this off time, since everything got shut down because of the pandemic with COVID-19, we've had the NFL draft took place. So that was quote-unquote, the first live sports event that took place since everything shut down. Even though the week before there was the WNBA draft. But I'm not sure that anybody actually paid attention to that.
I honestly did not even know that happened.
What's that, the WNBA draft?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that happened either. No offense to you ladies out there. It wasn't. Let's talk about the NFL draft for a minute there, Will.
Yeah, I mean, it had a few surprises. It wasn't a lot like some people might have been hoping for.
Right.
From when I watched it, it actually didn't seem to have any hitches or anything in it. No missteps. It actually went pretty smooth considering everything was via video conference and everything, so I was expecting there to be delays, lost connections, all sorts of different, you know, technical errors to occur, and it went pretty damn smooth. I mean, the whole thing, I watched bits of it the next couple of days. Still, there was no issues that I could pinpoint. Goodell tried to make himself endearing to the fans, which, depending on your take of Goodell, is, you know, either going to try to hate him even more because of it, like, look at this dude, or, you know, actually start to enjoy him a little bit and, like, well, yeah, he is my commissioner. I can get behind this guy now. But yeah, I thought it went pretty good. You have what's his name? This is the sad part, trying to remember people's names. The first pick went up there to the Bengals.
Oh, guy from LSU, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yeah. Burrow, that's his name. Yeah. That's my problem. I can't remember names half the time.
Same here.
So, Joe Burrow, he went number one overall, which has led to the release of Andy Dalton and then the subsequent signing of Andy Dalton as backup to the Cowboys.
See, that's a lot to talk about right there. I'm actually, being a Cowboys fan, and totally surprised by it, and I'm happy about it.
You were predicting it on Madden for the last three seasons that we've played. I don't want to fucking hear it. I don't want to fucking hear that you were surprised. You predicted the motherfucker. I don't know how you didn't have money on the bus.
I can't give away my inside trades.
Apparently, you had some shit going on that I didn't know about.
No. Because this whole contract situation with Dak and what he's trying to get, which, ridiculous. Again, it is ridiculous. As a Cowboys fan myself, I totally disagree with the contract amount that he's wanting and or demanding.
If he wanted $32 million, I think that would be acceptable by most of the fan base even.
I think he should have took
him trying to go top spot with the $40 million is insane.
I totally agree. I think he should have took the contract that the Cowboys offered him. That was a freaking very good deal. To be paid $40 million to me is anybody that gets paid $40 million is freaking ridiculous. But
well, that's the trend that's going to be going anywhere.
Nonetheless, if as far as a quarterback getting paid $40 million, to me, you got to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback to get that. And not just once. You'd have to be at least a two-time repeat Super Bowl quarterback to get that amount of money. Or at least be in the playoffs every year to go for the Super Bowl.
Not 8-8.
Not 8-8. And I agree with that, Robbie. I totally agree with that.
See, part of the issue is why the quarterbacks are getting paid so much is actually thanks to Kirk Cousins. If Kirk Cousins hadn't gotten 2 or 3 years worth of franchise tags, yep, because of how those things are figured up and right, valued out, it wouldn't have pushed the money up as high as it is. They'd still probably be in the 20s. But then all of a sudden, thanks to him, oh, well, I'm better than what Kirk Cousins is. I should be getting 30-some million. See, okay, we'll give you 30
that
million.
Opens up a whole
but then it just starts, you know, steamrolling and it goes extreme from that point on. I agree with you. Dak doesn't deserve as much money as he's trying to get. He hasn't proven on a regular basis that he deserves that kind of money. He's not necessarily the worst quarterback out there, so I wouldn't say he should have the smallest contract.
No.
But he should, at the same time, he should be okay with being in the top. Let's give him the top 10.
Wow.
Of course. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. He's wanting top tier money.
Yeah.
That would be the top 3. Let's say top 3 would be top tier. Okay? Top 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I would put him, if we gave him top 10 money, put him like right at the bottom, right there at number 10. Just barely getting into the $30 million range. Because, I mean, shit, you're still making more money than Drew Brees. He's making $25 million. You're making more money than Tom Brady, who's a 6-time Super Bowl champ. He's making $25 million. You're making more than Philip Rivers. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's made it into the championship game a couple times, not to the Super Bowl itself. But he's still been a solid performer year after year after year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, he is only making 25 mil. All these veteran, proven guys.
Yeah.
All three of those are up there also in age. Like, they're about to retire, so right. they're more willing to take a smaller amount
yeah.
per year. But, I mean, you got to still think about it. Like, yeah, you are progressing in your career. You've been around for, what, 5 years now? 5, 6 years?
For Dax.
No, it's been less than that. Four or five.
This is his fifth year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he hasn't really been in the league that long. He's led them to a couple playoffs.
Yes.
But they haven't progressed past maybe one win.
You could probably blame some of that on the organization as well, not just Dak itself, but you could just blame the organization for that. And old Jerry Jones himself has a lot to do with it, and that's probably another separate podcast. But I mean that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, to me, I would step down and put Dak further below that top 10. I would go top 15 for me.
He's got a lot to prove before he gets that money.
And that's the way I feel, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he got in just barely into the $30 million range, it would still be plenty of money.
Yes.
It'd be plenty of money for his position, for what, mm-hmm. how he has helped the team. Because you can't say that he hasn't really hurt the team.
Right.
I mean, they did get a playoff win, which isn't something that Tony Romo can say.
This is true.
Okay.
This is true.
So you've already improved by getting at least one playoff win than your previous signal caller. So he has stepped up the position just enough. Does he still deserve? He doesn't deserve top money, because that would mean that he's better than Ben Roethlisberger. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. He's better than Matthew Stafford. And honestly, I think Matthew Stafford is still better than Dak Prescott,
even
with his broken back.
I would love to see Stafford get out of Detroit.
But so if he was to get top, I'm still saying top 10 would put him nicely within that $30 million. Just yeah. barely into the $30 million. It would make everybody...
I think he was offered something close to that anyway, and he turned it down.
I heard, if I remember correctly, I heard something about some $35 million a year, which is still right up there with the top three,
yeah,
top five, at least, yeah. you know, quarterbacks. That's a hell of a good deal.
Yes,
but he wants to feel like he is being truly recognized. Considering they went out there and they paid a shit ton of money to fucking Zeke.
So,
they have given new money yeah. to Amari Cooper. Yeah. They've gone out. They've now paid Andy Dalton money to come in as a solid backup, which yeah. even still, if Dak doesn't show up this year, holds out because of wanting the contract, you've got Andy Dalton, a proven quarterback, at getting to the playoffs. Not being able to do anything in the playoffs, so it's not like you're changing your MO at all with who you've got as your signal caller at the moment. But you've got, you know, and they've gone out, they've also gotten, what's his name, Alden Smith?
Yes.
They signed him. They gave another contract, a newer contract, to a couple other defensive players, I think. Mm-hmm. So they're paying everybody else, whether it was last year or this year, and Dak's just kind of sitting around, and I don't know if he's feeling appreciated. That's why I think he's...
Appreciated?
Well, that's the thing, though. Everybody else is getting their money, and he's not getting his,
all right.
and he's looking for a long-term deal from them, and that's probably why he's wanting them to come closer to that 40, just to prove, like, yes, we are... We appreciate you. We do want you to be with us long term. That's my only...
What you just said right there about being appreciated for not going to the Super Bowl and not winning it and still being offered if it was 35 or 33 or whatever the hell it was, to be offered that should still be considered being appreciated, because if not, they could have freaking lowballed them further than that. And, you know, and then, which I think is going to happen, is they're going to let him walk.
Yep, I think they should.
I really think they're going to let Dak walk. And I think, tell you what is going to happen. My thing is this. Dak doesn't sign. They don't offer him the contract. He doesn't sign. He goes ahead and he decides to sit. They got Andy Dalton in there now, who is a veteran passing quarterback. He has more weapons in Dallas than he ever had in Cincinnati. And he has a better O-line. He has a better chance at winning even a NFC championship. We won't go Super Bowl yet.
But oh, so we can you're say expecting two wins at least in the postseason that he has never actually accomplished yet.
Hey, it's possible. I just said he has a better team in Dallas right now than he does in freaking Cincinnati. Excuse me. So, with that being said, he'll be there this year, and I'm willing to bet next year. He'll be there for 2 years at least. They're going to sign him to more than 1 year. They're going to go after the next coming batch of quarterbacks coming out next season.
All right. Well, there's also, this isn't the only quarterback move that has taken place this year.
True.
Because you have Philip Rivers leaving the Chargers on a one or two year deal, going to the Indianapolis Colts. You've got Tom Brady leaving the Patriots for the first time in 20 fucking years, finally.
Unbelievable.
Going to the Buccaneers of all teams. But I can kind of understand why he would go there because of the caliber of coaching staff that's already in place. Plus, shit ton of weapons, everything setting up, defense was getting in order. It's a nice fit for any quarterback, veteran quarterback, to be trying to jump into. You got Drew Brees signing for another year or two, sticking around in New Orleans. But Teddy Bridgewater, his former backup, Brees' backup last year, is now the projected starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Getting paid the exact same money Cam Newton was getting paid, and they released Cam Newton. So, Cam Newton has yet to find a team. So he's still floating out there. Jameis Winston, the former Bucks quarterback, is floating out there. With Andy Dalton going in and signing a one-year deal, which I've heard various people say that the idea of a veteran coming in signing a one-year deal kind of would be similar to how Teddy Bridgewater did. Coming into New Orleans, signing that one-year deal, he ended up getting a chance to prove himself, like, hey, look, I can actually still play pretty damn good, and then gets rewarded the following year with a nice, healthy contract. Is that potential for Andy Dalton? Is that maybe why he went to the Cowboys? To just show, hey, I'm not dead yet. You know, Cincinnati gave up on me. They're going with this young buck, Burroughs, who, I mean, what he did in college this past year was phenomenal with his, 60 touchdowns or whatever. It was insane. But you've got other veteran quarterbacks out there, hungry and waiting for a chance, that's got coming off injury or surgery of some sort, that's wanting to prove themselves, got the chip on their shoulder, ready to prove themselves. Who will get the first chance, say, next year when things roll around again? Say some of these veteran guys, some of the older veteran guys, end up finally saying, all right, I gave it my last year. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, give it another run just for the hell of it, see if a change of scenery would help at all. Philip Rivers hangs it up for good. Drew Brees hangs it up for good. I know they've already stated for New Orleans situation, Taysom Hill will take over.
Yeah.
But, Jameis Winston actually signed with the Saints. I forgot about that. So he's not available.
Right.
But you still do have Cam Newton, who came off of shoulder surgery, came off of his foot surgery as well.
Right.
So he's been posting his workout videos, looking like an absolute monster, determined as fuck to kill somebody whenever he gets back the field. What I'm just saying, like, when you have the new season, and not necessarily this season, most teams are kind of set, it seems like. It feels like, at least. Moving forward. But for the next season, you're going to have some of these veteran quarterbacks again because they did a one-year deal, waiting to, like, all right, I can kind of now have a little bit of tape somewhere to show potential other teams, you might want me.
Right.
What's going to happen? Like, you got Andy Dalton, you got Jameis Winston signing for that 1 year, you've got, you know, Cam sitting around, flopping around. Where do y'all think they might end up moving forward? All right, folks. So we end up getting really long-winded talking about all the different aspects of the NFL. So what we have decided to do is to split it up into a couple different segments. The second segment will end up taking place in the next episode. For right now, in this particular episode, when we come back, I will be giving a quick shot, which, for those of you who know, and those of you who are new to the program, is basically a short editorial that I've come up with about some topics that really just kind of stuck out to me in the news lately. Just off the cuff, what I have to think about it. So we will be right back with that. So, being the rabid Steeler fan that I am, I have to discuss some news that came about the other day, go on record as to my take on the whole situation, because I have been asked by people in the fantasy football league that me and Robbie, as well as Chris, are all a part of, the fantastic ODFL. Anyhow, I will speak about this some other time, go in more detail about the ODFL, but I digress. This news that came out. Let me stay on topic a little bit here. My phone starts blowing up the other day. Notifications from ESPN, NFL Network. Because James Harrison, the undrafted, just absolute monster that the Steelers got a hold of, and had a part of the organization for like 13 or 14 years of his career, has this little interview, and they are talking to him about your biggest fine, the biggest fine that he's ever gotten. And so he mentions the $75,000 fine that he got for hitting a Browns receiver back in like 2010, 2012, somewhere in that range. And then mentioned shortly after that Coach Tomlin had handed him an envelope afterwards. That's about all the articles really go into. No real detail beyond that. That's just essentially the clickbait. When I first saw this, first kind of read the initial articles that came out that day, I didn't know what to make of it. I honestly didn't. I sat there and just couldn't figure out what he was trying to do, what might have been his agenda for saying something like that. Because unless he still held some type of malice against the Steelers for how things ended, which here recently didn't seem to be the issue, and especially for it to have been so far removed to all of a sudden be mentioning something like this, it
the whole thing seemed off. But the way, at least it was worded from the articles being put out, it almost seems similar to a Bounty Gate situation. And for those that might not remember, Bounty Gate took place down in New Orleans with the Saints when Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator. He would tell his defensive players to go out there, purposely cause injury, and then he would give them a bonus. This almost seemed like it may have been a similar situation, at least the way it was worded in the articles. So, for me, I'm sitting there, I'm perplexed, I'm trying to figure out why this is being said. Nobody else has ever said anything along these lines, so what's the deal? Is it just the Steelers are more tight-lipped about it and not trying to get themselves in trouble, or, you know, is he just spouting off because he had a moment and thought he could get away with it? But the next day, he goes on Instagram. And I read his post. I've been following his Instagram just because the dude is insane when it comes to the weight room. And just watching his posts of his different weightlifting is just mesmerizing. I cannot stop looking at this man do these incredible feats, especially as he keeps getting older. He keeps doing more. I thought his off-season workouts were something to behold, throwing around medicine balls for volleyball with teammates. But he keeps adding weight to the sled, like 42 plates on a sled because he turned 42, and he's pushing it like it's nothing. It just incredible feats of strength that this man is able to pull off. So I keep his Instagram available so I can just see what he's up to now. What wild and crazy thing has he decided to try to accomplish this time? Sorry, again, another tangent. Anyhow, he posts on there because of reasonable backlash to how this interview was perceived, how it was put out and publicized to people, and he ends up explaining in more detail that Coach Tomlin kind of gave him this envelope and was like, you're going to need this. It was basically how he ended up putting it, is he knew that James was going to get a pretty hefty fine off of this. So, maybe he was trying to help. Maybe he was just simply joking. It could be possible that it was all just a joke, that the envelope itself may have been empty. We don't know the actual facts beyond James and Coach T about what actually transpired truly at that moment. But after I read and kind of got a bit more detail in regards to what was taking place in that interview, to me, it made a bit more sense. It seemed a lot more logical as to the circumstances. So I don't see where there was a bounty gate. I know other teams are going to sit there and, you know, well, at least their fans for other teams are going to be, the Steelers are fucking dirty. I fucking knew it. You know, I can't stand these motherfuckers. I get that. I would probably be saying the same thing if I heard this coming from a player from the Ravens, the Browns, you know, especially the Bengals. Especially if it was, say, Vontaze Burfict or Pac-Man Jones talking about those back-to-back years where they're taking out Bell and taking out Brown in games against us. That, I really would have probably jumped down somebody's throat and been like, see how fucking dirty these bitches are. God, they even fucking finally admitted it. They finally admitted to it. It took them long enough, but we knew it. I knew it at least. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, I'm not seeing, with more detail, I'm not seeing that this was Tomlin paying him off for the hit. Like, hey, good job. Here you go. It wasn't a payoff like Bounty Gate. It was more, you might need this for your fine coming up. If there was even money in the envelope at all. I know fans were trying to help him with his fine, especially whenever they found out how fucking ludicrous the amount was that they set and gave him. I don't think they may have lost a game or two out of it. But just the fact that it was $75,000. Maybe it was because they claim he's a repeat offender at the time, whatever. So they jumped it up, but that was when Goodell was really trying to, like, flex on everybody and act like, you better listen, I am the final authority type deal. Whatever. But, nonetheless, those are my final thoughts on the James Harrison situation that came up about a few days ago. Can't really put much more to that. So for anyone that had any questions, this is an avid Steeler fan's take on it. Take it for what you will. Probably don't think that it's worth a shit just because it's so biased. Of course he won't find any issues with it because he's a Steelers fan. Like I said, initially I was perplexed by it. I was disappointed by it. I was thinking the same thing everybody else is thinking. But after Harrison got on Instagram and put something to it, put more context to it, it made more sense to me. And I was able to say, okay, you're good still. We're fine. Moving on. It was more set up as a clickbait situation than the actual truth. So in just a couple seconds, come back from a momentary break. Wrap things up for this episode. Well, that's going to do it for this episode, folks. Thank you for joining us and hanging with us on this long absence that we have taken. Don't worry, we are collaborating on ways to make this show come on a much more regular basis. Because it feels like we are starting to come out the other side of this COVID shit, and we're all excited for what that will bring sports-wise for us to discuss and argue about. And until next time, this is Will for Two Drunken Penguins and Antarctican's Anonymous Radio Production.